Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listeners. This is your host, Reverend Reuben Dockery. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight on Blog Talk Radio. Here, you can share your thoughts as well as become informed about very important social issues confronting society today. Please take the time to visit my website at bfcinstitute.com. That's bfcinstitute.com to learn more about our efforts to educate, inspire, and empower disadvantaged families across America to improve the quality of life. The best way to stay in the loop of future broadcasts, times and locations for our traveling educational lecture series, and innovative ideas is to become a BFC Institute seminar participant. You may do so by clicking the Join Our Group tab on the home page. I would be delighted to respond to your suggestions and engage you further in most transformative information. Again, thank you for joining us, and I look forward to hearing from you online.
Hello, and welcome again to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Grateful that you can join us again on this December 11th, 2018. It won't be long before we're into a new yearly cycle. Talk Straight, for the last 2 years, has been sponsored and continues to be sponsored by Building Families and Communities Institute, where yours truly is the chief educator and lecturer. And it's under the umbrella of our nonprofit based in Nashville, Tennessee, Building Families and Communities Missions Incorporated. And we endeavor to take this conversation to a national level. While we have local things, you've heard our website, which is www.bfcinstitute.com. There are local initiatives, but we have a national initiative as well. For the last year in particular, we focused ourselves on how to address some very common issues, social ills that are facing many good people throughout urban America and perhaps even all of America. I want to believe that when something bothers one of us, it should bother us all. But certainly our focus has been on urban America. You can give me a call here live in the studio. If you're tracking us from Facebook, feel free to give us a call. And the number is 657-383-0944. Again, that number is 657-383-0944. I'd be happy to entertain your question, your comment. All we ask is that you, as best you can, keep it relevant. We're going to be doing reflections, and so we're looking at several previous episodes, topics that we've addressed, and tonight we're focusing on one in particular, and that is 6x6 room, and I'll talk a little bit more about that. Just going to give you a very, very brief monologue to give context to tonight's conversation. If you will, just bear with us there. I look forward to hearing from Pastor Ricky Wallace. He's available tonight. Some of our regular callers, we've been fortunate to have them to keep up with us. I realize it's the holiday season and people are busy, things of that nature. But if you can join us, we'd love to have you. 657-383-0944. If you're listening to us, the live link, feel free to call in and be a part of the live conversation. Again, this is Reuben Dockery, your host for Talk Straight. Tonight, this is 2018 Talk Straight Reflections that we are coming from, and that's the basis of our conversation tonight. specifically one that we were able to do in 2018, and it talks about young men and how young men find themselves in a predicament where it's like they're in a room and they hear their thoughts and they become afraid of those thoughts. So we're going to talk from the subtopic 6x6 room. James, the first chapter, the 6th verse through the 8th verse, says, "But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." An instructive lesson there. And I think we'll kind of get to it as we go through tonight. Kelly Roberts does a rewrite of a former famous poem in 2014. She writes it like this: "Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you." Now, you've in the past, I've talked about and I've described being in a 6x6 dark room with a young man who is armed with a weapon and is full of anger and frustration, seeking to release it on every and anybody that they can, just to make themselves feel better. And I describe the need for someone to be in there, and I've asked the question often, what do you do if you find yourself in that situation? We've had some pretty interesting answers over the past year and in our conversation. Well, in reality, these young men across urban America, many growing up without the benefit of a father and a voice of masculine authority that guides them into good decision-making. I don't say that to suggest that every young male in urban America experiences that, but what the data tells us is that they're in certain voting precincts where it's predominantly African-American, that this is the case more often than not. The good news is that we're in a position to change that, to improve that, right? And that's our whole purpose, hence the purpose of Building Families and Communities Institute and our traveling lecture series and this talk show. So I say that to say again that too many young men find themselves in a situation where, because they lack the knowledge and the guidance, they began in a position of fear. And that fear escalates into violence. Allow me to explain or offer an explanation. Certainly from my position, this is where I see it. And I hope you give me a call here to join me, 657-383-0944, and we can talk about it. We got about an hour and a half here, and we'll go from there. All right. So let's talk about first this first leg of this dark room and what happens in the mind. And the room may be more figurative than literal. Okay, and it's really speaking of being in a place where there is little illumination of truth, knowledge, understanding, opportunity, okay, such that you're walking in the blind or without understanding, subject to meeting any kind of negative fate. That's what we mean by the dark room. Okay? And in such a position as a young person, seems as though you have nothing to lose to go all out, to strike out. But with the right guidance, the right care and redirection, they can learn that you don't have to strike out. So just for a second, let me explain this notion, this concept of this escalation that begins with fear. Fear is the presence of anger. That's the indication that they're angry. The presence of this anger is an indication that they're afraid. And you wonder why people get angry about things, and sometimes we really get angry. Well, it stems from the concern that where I am in this conversation or moving forward, there may be harm or some kind of loss to me. Seen in the perceived object of threat, that would be you or anyone else who they fear may harm them. Some of the common reactions to this perception, this idea that somebody's trying to hurt me. Emotionally, what you see quite often, and I experience this working as a youth service officer and a supervisor in a detention facility and a treatment facility for young men, there's some isolation. Tend to isolate themselves from everyone else and to be inward to avoid having to confront that fear. Taking no action at all or being inactive, laying low, undercut, is either that or fighting. And the flip side of the fighting is flight, what they call the fight-flight syndrome. All right? And because, again, of this lack of knowledge and lack of understanding, this fear sets in, this concern of loss, this concern of harm. And then the defensive pose comes about. I got to get myself ready to defend myself from whoever or whatever. All right? Well, from there is anxiety. So you got fear and then anxiety. That morphoses into it, anxiety. Well, what is this anxiety you talk about now? Apprehension that is caused by the concern of danger, some sort of misfortune, things going wrong. This is uneasiness in the mind on a regular basis, right? And the mental stress of dealing with a real or perceived threat causes frustration over a period of time. Now, when young men in dire scrapes and situations are forced to make adult-like decisions for themselves and to even too often feel as though they have to take care of their whole family and that if they don't do well, it is on them, it's their fault. This is what happens. It creates this anxiety. They don't have the benefit of being a child and not worrying about all these things, you know, because they find themselves in a position assuming that they have a responsibility greater than their level of understanding or even their potential or resources that are available to them. And incidentally, they are in a situation where, at the same time, I'm a little child and I got concerns and I have fears and I have apprehensions in this little room of theirs, in this mind, the room of their mind, four corners of their mind. This anxiety sets in. The more it goes undressed, the more volatile the individual tends to become. And we see this too often in major urban areas. Young people on the street with the mentality, I got to kill or be killed. It's specifically in certain neighborhoods. Now, here are some of the indications of the anxiety. Whenever you see indications of depression, lack of drive or interest in doing anything, up into and including taking care of yourself, combing your head, wearing, keeping your clothes clean and hygiene and things of that nature. Lack of interest in what all of your other peers are doing, traditional social activities. Nervousness. Yeah, some sort of indication of paranoia, fear. Always looking over, wondering who's coming at me. I got to watch y'all. All right? Fidgety. Uneasy, typically. Even demonstrating irrational thought and action. Well, you have asked, why did you do that, man? What made you do that? Right? Well, those are the indications of the anxiety. That anxiety stems from that fear. Okay? And over time, this goes unchecked. Something else happens, which is the third leg of this escalation, if you will. Okay? And that is violence. I didn't know enough. I became afraid or concerned. Time kept on passing by, and I felt a greater sense of responsibility or concern for my fears morphed into anxiety. Still being unchecked, unresolved, without guidance, without that care, without some sort of coach in my life. The only thing I know is to protect myself. Get in where I fit in. Hence the final result of this untamed ignorance, not knowing from the beginning, which manifests itself into fear, right? Subsequently, anxiety. It results in an irreversible action, oftentimes, of either harm to yourself or someone else. And sometimes, sadly, too often, death. We see this when a young man is strapped with a pistol, and now higher powers or weapons or what have you, that accessible to him on the street, feeling as though I need this to protect myself, keep myself alive. That means I got to kill somebody else in order for me to live. That's a serious thing. That's a very serious thing, but it happens too often. And what happens is, in urban areas, we find young people feeling as though there is no one looking out for me. Nobody got my back, so I got to get it myself. You see? And in this room, these four corners of their mind, they justify the violence as a means of securing their own way and their own path. Unfortunately, though, here's the saddest part of it. This behavior can overtake some of the best people with the best potential in the world. That's why it's necessary for us to make sure that we're focused and deliberate about going, finding them. We know where they are. They're in the hood. They're in urban America. They're in these precincts that are struggling economically, that are struggling socially, that are struggling to find themselves. That's where they are. They're around the corner on the block, right? We see it too often. It's no need to ask, why did they do that? Why are they doing that over there? We know why they're doing that. If you don't know, you're part of the problem. That's what the whole of the street is. You understand what I'm saying? If you're a grown person, you call yourself a leader, and you say you're in a position of influence, someone that folks should listen to, and you don't have a clue by now. Here it is, December 11, 2018. We're about to go in another year, man. Folk claim they don't have a clue. They got to do a study. They got to figure it out. Man, look, get on out the way, because you are part of the problem. This violent mentality results in the loss of life, serious injury, again, to self or other people, and even the destruction of property and what we call anarchy, a lack of order and discipline whatsoever. Before we open up the phone lines, I want to, the Georgia Mass Choir had an old lady join them, and they sang this song right here that was also good. And I think this is helpful to this young man in his four corners of his room. That's what we're talking about tonight. These are 2018 reflections. We'll do about three or four of them until the end of this month. And this is the first one. We're talking about that 6x6 room. Georgia Mass Choir.
There was just enough room for her to get in there. She walked in that closet. The children were walking behind her. She walked in that closet. And she closed the door. And before she talked to the Lord, she said this.
You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dawson. Listen, we're talking about, this is 2018 Reflection, Talk Straight. We've had a lot of conversations, and this is an opportunity for us to reflect on some of it. One of them is this thing I keep asking, and I got Pastor Wally here with me and my good friend Mama D out of Peoria, Illinois. I keep asking Pastor Wally what you do if you got this little shawty in the room. What you tell him? Pastor Wally, what about what the old lady said? Will that help any?
Well, how did she put that? You know, how did she didn't get a chance to really get a knowledge of what she said? But I'm sure her being full of wisdom, she had something to say that was going to be beneficial.
Yeah. Who is that now, the old lady?
Yeah, sure.
Well, we didn't listen to the whole song, but they described, Georgia Mass Choir this was, they described how her son had been in an accident, and they were on a country road, and the lady invited her in to call the doctor for help. And she told the lady, I don't need a phone. All I need is your closet.
Yeah.
I'm going to call my doctor. Huh?
Yeah.
And Pastor, if we were to parlay that to these young men who in their dark room, in the 6x6 room, the corners of their mind, the four corners of their mind, what do we tell them? That's what I'm asking you about now. What would you say to them?
Yeah, you know, when you're full of fluid, man, it's going to be tough. You're going to have a chance to say anything to them. But if you withhold the information that you have and decide not to tell them anything, you know, it's worse off because you didn't even utilize what you have. And,
right.
You know, what is instilled with wisdom and knowledge, and then you're going to withhold it from those who deserve it. So what do you tell them is what you ask. And I would say
right.
You go for what you know. And if you're not ashamed of the gospel, you know, you let it be known that prayer has power and it does change things. And maybe the little kid never heard about that. And once you share it with them, they just may step out on faith. Maybe not right
wow.
then. Just
maybe
because
right now,
you
okay.
excuse them, they may move on it in time, you know. And so you have to take it slow with them gradually, even though, you know, there's an urgency for information. But if you withhold
right.
it from them, then they won't be able to utilize it at all. Don't have to keep it to yourself. So, yeah. Change is possible. You know, prayer is power. You know, that's why he said
wow.
pray without ceasing. So when you do that, you offer it to the young person, and they just may take heed to it, you know. Somebody might say, well, they're not going to listen, but that's not your part. Your part is to teach. You know, and if and I just think that's power in prayer. So yeah.
Okay.
You know, that's what
okay.
I was
okay.
Just tell it.
Look like we've got an outcast to join us here. Welcome, sir. And welcome, Mama D.
Thank you. How y'all doing?
Good.
All right.
Good,
how
good.
You?
Okay.
Well, perhaps you all heard some of what we've been talking about. We're really reflecting on that 6x6 room scenario. Just this past week, they found some young people who were engaged in criminal activity. And, you know, they decided to fight back. They decided that they were going to run and push the police. And, of course, they didn't get nowhere. They didn't get anywhere. And I asked myself, I said, well, I wonder what was going through their mind. You know what I mean? When they found themselves there. The good news is, as Pastor Wallace is saying, is if we erase the wisdom of the age, surely they don't have an option. They don't have a chance. If you have any inkling of experience that you can share with someone, and I was very clear about who we're talking about. Some people say, well, that ain't all children. That's true. That is so true because there are people who've invested instruction and spend time with their children and got them on a good path. So, no, you're right, it's not everybody. But let's be honest about where we can find these people, right? That's why we've been focusing our attention on urban America. But in 2018, Pastor Waller will tell you, we've strived to answer how we can come to understand certain things and address certain other things. Because this year is just about gone now. And all you ain't done, it ain't going to get done. Excuse my English. Is that right, Mama D?
I don't know about that, Pastor. I mean, all you may have not done come December, I think it's the 12th, 11th or something.
11th, yeah.
Of 2018, it ain't
yes,
over till it's over because there's one particular day when you least expect it. Who knows?
Wow. Okay.
The change
okay.
May have didn't even know it.
Well, now, Mama D, I had the gentleman tell me, I'm going to wait till after the holidays and everything's busy and everything. Can we wait on that? Do we have time to wait on that?
No. If they come,
they come.
If they don't, go ahead and do what you got to do.
Okay, whosoever will, huh?
Yes, sir. And as long as you know what you're doing, what you're supposed to do, or feel like you need to do, okay, mm-hmm. Anybody hitch a ride with me, this gravy train moving.
See, you ain't no, you don't play, do you, Mama D?
It's moving. You choose to get on or get off or stay off if you ain't already on.
Well, and I believe that there are good people who mean well. And sometimes there's a concern that, you know, my voice may fall on deaf ears and more time may be wasted. Maybe I'm not the right person. But Outkast, if that's where you find yourself, how do you tell yourself that, listen, you know, as long as you're striving and doing, that should be your motivation. What do you think about that, Outkast?
I agree. Keep it moving.
Keep it moving, man, I tell you. A lot is going on. But
yes, sir.
Even at that, we have to keep it moving.
Right. I mean, you know,
I'm sorry, what were you saying, Doc?
No, I didn't make some young men. Thing is this, you know, we say all the time, keep doing what you do, you go where you go, and then you'll sit in that 6x6 cell and say it's a dream, but it's not a dream. It's reality. It's the truth. You know, sometimes when people have an experience, certain things they take it for granted, but you go there and you're big to get out. And with what's going on today, you know, they trying to make a dust and they're there for 51 years, and some of them are never getting out, you know.
Right. Right.
And not just whole level.
Yeah, well, that's a great point because, and there are a lot of parents, mamas, particularly single parent mamas, who are afraid that, you know, I just won't be able to save them or spare them because you're right. So I was just talking to my wife earlier about how, man, the nature of some of the offenses, you know what I mean?
Right.
You wouldn't think a child would engage in that type of behavior.
No.
Well, I mean, how did they become so, that's kind of, I guess, where we're coming from. How did it become so darn angry that they just,
remember,
I mean, you know.
When we had a discussion.
Go ahead, what did you say that?
I'm sorry. I said, remember when we all had a discussion about the older ones? Because they don't want to take the call. They put it on these babies out here, which I think is horrible. But they put it on the kids because kids' mind ain't developed fully yet. And some of them don't know. They lie to them and tell them, oh, look, what's the worst they can do to you? They ain't going to do nothing to you. They're going to let you go. Send you to boot camp, maybe. But Lucas just. Outcast. Excuse me. Like he just said, they get in that wall and behind that jail cell, and they kids, and some of them ain't going to ever get out because they've been forced to take the rap for something they didn't even not know what they was doing as a child.
That's the worst part, too, isn't it? That they didn't even have a clue of what they were doing. I mean,
it's hurtful,
you know?
And I think horrible for people. You know your butt up to all that devil, man. You're a grown man or a young grown man. Why would you stick this bad thing on a child that didn't even stand a chance because you took it from him?
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, we just had a young guy here, Outcast, that I'm trying to remember what school it was, brought a gun to school and had a loaded magazine. Now, it wasn't in the chamber, but when they asked the young man, I understand they were trying to figure, you know, of course, it was zero tolerance, so they expelled him, and he went to juvenile and everything. And they were trying to ask him why he got it. You know what he said? I got to look out for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, whether it was real or not, that's where he's coming from. So, you go into the hood, right, and people sitting on their porch, they doing their thing, they living their life, and they doing what they do. What do you say to them? I mean, what do you say to them? Hey, come here, y'all got to get this right. Your son messed up, or your daughter's messed up. How do you reach out to people, man? Goodness gracious. How do you reach them? Is there any hope?
Like you do anybody else that's sitting on their porch, hanging out, listen to their music. As long as they ain't disrupting everybody else's life, and if neighbors ain't complaining, then they must be all right, some of them. As far as the young folks just hanging on the street corner, I ain't never believed in it. I don't like it. I figured it attracts trouble because it's about trouble usually.
Yeah.
And now shortly after trouble, we'll follow behind that because too many of them that don't have anything constructive to do, they do.
That's it.
Unconstructive
thing. Right.
So they're starting
to put it
on the
staff here. I'm sorry, you're raising a good point. And really what you're talking about is about a child's daily activities and time being managed for them, you know, such that they don't have time to be hanging out on the street, on the block, on the corner.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the trouble starts, especially after curfew. You know what I mean? It never ceases to amaze me. You can go out in right now in most cities and catch young people out, and it's supposed to be a legal curfew. You know what are you babies doing out here like this, man? You know what I mean? I bet you right now, Pastor Wiley, you go down for 40 if you find a little catch in the cut. Huh? You there, Pastor Wallace? Okay, I don't guess he can hear me. Maybe. What about around your block, 8112?
That's not allowed. right here in this little rural, it's not even rural, it's right on top of the hill shit. But excuse my French, but anyway, I go on the South End now, it seems like a ghost town to me. I miss it. So they're starting, you know, a lot of the young folks, poor girls, they age, ain't hardly standing a chance because the young men's are dying off quick. And the girls, they're doing whatever they're doing. And the other ones that wasn't even out there is not standing on the street corner. So you hardly, I haven't been down at night in the last couple years like that because I ain't been living down there in the last 5 or 6 years. But however, when I was, they were starting to slowly disappear off the block. Off the block. In a couple miles radius area. You know, people in the hood know pretty much know who's who and what's what and what's going on.
Sure.
I figure you don't put your... Go ahead.
I think you guys got a population of about, what, 100-some thousand people there in the Peoria area and different portions of the city there. In Peoria County as well.
Peoria seems pretty big to me. Because, see, I don't go very far. I don't care where I live at. I done lived in the hood, urban America, as y'all call it. I live where I'm sitting at right now. And when I go out of my house, I'm either getting in my car, and I'm not going far in there because I don't drive like that, or I'm going down the street walking and back to the house.
I see.
I can't say that, but what I can say is that I don't worry quite as much as I used to being a middle-aged woman walking by herself at night where I'm at now as I would opposed to where I came from before.
I see. Okay. Well, now, I bet you Outkast can tell you about Nashville. And it's amazing. Did you hear about the city decided they wasn't going to get those,
Yeah.
They had that here where you can see somebody shoot a gun, they can see it, not you. They can find where the bullet came from.
Right, the police can determine exactly the exact location of where it came from. Well, it was two housing projects that were up for it, but the mayor decided that it was too expensive.
I mean, when it comes to these politicians and things of that nature, you know, people have a right to vote the way that they want to vote. But I'm just gonna leave it right there. But I don't think that that was a good call. You know,
it wasn't. It wasn't
with that.
You know why he didn't spend the money though, right?
Yeah, well, I was going to say, it's about money.
Right?
More of them they kill than the more police they get to sit on the block to pick up somebody's body. For three of them and shit. Excuse me, there I go again. I got hot now. Because that didn't make any sense to me.
Well,
they even here, they got that here where they can do that. Then they put these, I don't know if they do it in where you guys are at, but they put these big old trucks out there that could see everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever
the
trouble is that they leave them on the block for like 2 weeks.
Right. So now that comes from some of the federal community policing dollars. But as this is what Outkast is saying. Here's the thing, Outkast. One of the reasons they had to make a 3-year commitment. See, and they didn't already committed. They didn't already committed money for all these developers and what have you. Come on now.
Oh, there you go. Wow.
So we wasn't worth it.
That's the problem.
We wasn't worth it.
What did you say, Outkast?
No, I said, we was not worth them. They'd rather do something else, make their other commitments than the commitment to the communities that actually needed it.
Well,
Am I right?
Well, that's what it seems like now. What do you think, Outkast? Because this is right here in Nashville. What do you think about that, Outkast? I mean,
what Mama D said, you know, I mean, it's the truth, though, but, you know, like, that wasn't a good call, and it wasn't a good call at all. You know, they've taken their money, and they put it in developing soccer fields and things of that nature.
Right.
Then you got your metro workers haven't had a decent raise, and I don't know when.
Come on now.
You know, I mean, but the thing is it is, you know, that's what they voted in office. So, you know, I mean, that's what you get. You know, now I'm going to come back to the Republicans and the Democrats. They say the Democrats is for the poor and the Republicans is for the rich. But, you know, when you actually look at it, you got your blue dog Democrats. They run it down. They're throwing money at the rich people. And the little people are suffering. You know, for telling all the police not to fund that little organization that they got. I feel that it's a drop off from the Klan, but what it is what it is. Okay? So, and I hold right there.
Basketball,
are
you back with us?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. Did you hear the conversation we were having about some of the issues with the lack of resource and opportunity that causes some of this stuff? Did you hear any of that?
Yeah, I did. I did, and I understand it very well. And now that I've come into the knowledge, you know, I didn't know it at first because I didn't have no knowledge about a lot of things. And when I was young myself, once upon a time, and, you know, being captured, and when you're in captivity and your mind is, it's like I would say my mind was, I didn't have a one track. I didn't have another track to be on, so I couldn't think but one way, and that is that, you know, with the money. And so now that I know that, you know, that it was a trap that I got into, then I understand why. You know, that's a prime example. You know, why wouldn't the trap continue, you know, when there are going to be people like myself coming up without the knowledge, and I call myself ignorant and unlearned. That's what I would say about myself. I don't want to say that about nobody else. I'm only talking about myself because I know that's what I was. And, you know, and there's so many more that I know is going to be walking in that same style soon and very soon because the word of God said whosoever trusts in his own heart is a fool. So there's going to be so many young people trusting themselves and rightfully so because that's who they're supposed to trust in when they don't have no knowledge of nothing else. Nobody is guiding them. Nobody is teaching them. And when you have that, I'm not talking about nobody willing to. I'm just talking about nobody guiding them. And when you have people willing, like the church, and I still have to go back to the church because I found out in the Word of God that it is a responsibility big time that the people that go inside of those buildings with that book pulled out, with all that information that's in the book, and for them not to take it to the streets, I blame them. That's just where I'm at. And if it wasn't for the instructions that was put down, because the Word of God did say, go out into the world and preach the gospel. Okay. Now, I didn't say that. The Word said that. And so is it happening? Is it going on? And, you know, and they're rebellious against it, that's one thing. But if it's not going on, then I think they have a part of playing it. You know, it's their fault. If I don't take to the streets the information that I've gotten, then I'm part of the problem. You said it earlier about being part of the problem. If I keep this information to myself, and I'm watching things happen around me, you know, and don't extend it to them, then I'm the blame, and I understand that, you know. It's not easy, man. Well, it's tough. It's tough.
Pastor, I want to extend on the thought that Outkast introduced in the conversation tonight. And really, you can be locked up or in prison or in this dark room and don't have to be in the physical room. Just in your neighborhood, because when you think about it, it's the places that particular allocating that money to use that would have helped reduce and help police solve a lot of issues in black neighborhoods. But
police in
black
neighborhoods got problems. They're killing folks. Some of them.
Huh? Say what now?
I said police is in black neighborhoods. Some of them, I try not to use the word all. They killing folks. Hell, they scared they own self, and they make kids even worse than what they are because they're super scared. Now, that's how you was talking about the, that ain't how you said it, God forgive me. I mean, you forgive me for that because that ain't what you said. But they running around, the kids just take off because they scared they're going to kill them. Instead of just arresting them, they're scared. So they retaliate,
right.
And they running. Now that they're running, they figure they got a gun or something. They may not have one doggone thing but fear in their heart.
Well, that's true, too. And So would you agree then, Mama D, that there's a need to have better communication from the residents, from the parents and the young people and law enforcement to know that if you're not doing anything wrong, you don't have to run. You ain't got to run, you know.
You know, this is a touchy subject for me. I want to say,
I understand that.
Then sometimes, I'm going to shut up. I don't know. I'm going to put it like this to keep myself free and clear of it because if you're not in that situation and you're not a child, you know you dealt it in some shape, form, or effect, but you may not deserve it. It deserve your friend being murdered over. Might have robbed a candy store. Not robbing, but stole some candy or something. And you take off running. All of a sudden, they say, "Halt, you don't halt. Come on." Or taser somebody to death. So that's a...
Y'all remember that? Hey, 81-3, you remember that movie, Cornbread Earl and Me?
Oh,
where the little talented basketball player was just a victim of circumstance.
Cornbread ain't done a doggone thing. Coming home with his basketball.
Well, so Lawrence Fishburne, that was the man. But I said that to say that when you really think about it, I was just talking about what Outkast was saying. That you ask yourself, who are you voting for? Because the right person would have said that is a major priority to make sure that in these neighborhoods where there's the highest incidence of shooting, that we're able to be proactive and to try to cut them down and resolve. We'll know exactly who, what, when, where, and why, right? Well, because the truth of the matter is, it's all this weekend. It's another election coming about, guys.
That's right,
and all those things are going to be vacant in the county government, from the mayor's office all the way down. The question is, who is it that you should be looking to vote in? Because if they're going to do the same old 6 and 10 routine, I mean, what's the point?
Right, you know, but Reverend Doctor, you know, I mean, you know, they've been doing that dog and pony show for you know almost a year, you know. Or better,
Know,
but, you know, like the thing is this, you know, I mean, even if they'd have put a spot shotter in those, you know, project areas and things of that nature, you know, you'll have a minister jump up and say, no, that's discrimination.
Yep.
How can they don't go over there and put them in a good somewhere, you know, I mean, but, you know, I mean, you know, the black people, you know, they want to have the cake and eat it too, you know, you can't have it both ways. You have four strong police presence in your neighborhood. You know when the police come into your neighborhoods like that. You know, it's just like taking the dude in the edge. You might end up cracking one of those unintentionally, you know. And then, you know, then here's your driving while black. You know, they just ran in the ground. Then you got your, I'm not going to call him no name, but now you got your mayor. You know, he going along with it. Driving while black in the neighborhoods. Well, you sitting up there in the metro government. You know what's going on in the neighborhoods. You know, we can ride down through Green Hills, but whatever, we won't get pulled over because you don't have a high crime rate. See, the black people, they want to have it both ways. You know, you want a strong presence in your neighborhood due to crime, but when they come down there, you got your little Jolly Roger, Middles are jumping up, and some of the other little so-called activists, shaded leaders caught in driving while black. Negro, sit down somewhere.
Slim Shady.
I'm getting fired up.
Well,
you shut up.
And the number one reason the police come is because somebody called them when folks get to acting a fool and shooting and clowning around there. And if they don't come, they will be at fault.
That's right.
So when they get to the scene. And they start to asking questions. Don't nobody know nothing. Ain't nobody seen nothing.
You know why, Pastor? You know why, Pastor?
Why is that? Because half of the time,
I've seen it myself. By the time when you call the police, first of all, they got 100 questions for you. After that fact, it takes 30 minutes by then, all hell done broke loose, somebody laying on the ground, and maybe not. And the war is over.
So, okay. Now, that's interesting you say that, okay? Because quite often, when the police come, they are not just there for show. And if, say, for instance, somebody called and they said somebody got shot, they're shooting right now. Well, the police is not going to come with ice cream trying to calm it down. Right. They're coming with heat.
Okay,
they're
I'm going to tell you. Okay, I'm going to tell you.
Hold on 1 second. Hold on 1 second, 8112. Let me finish this out. And if you know that that type of thing is going on out there, that means you need to go ahead and get on out of the way so that the police can do their job, right?
They
so
already
you don't get
good,
caught
but
up
they're gonna
in
be, they're going to scatter, first of all. But second of all, what I was going to say, I'm going to tell you something. My nephew came to my house, and he didn't even live in Peoria, but he was in Peoria visiting. And his dad got murdered. And he found his dad. So when he came to me, I said, well, okay, I'm right here in West Peoria. Call the police, and then you can talk to them. Do you know that? Oh, excuse me. They behind never. We talking about a homicide, and this is his son. They never came to this house and had that young man call them people about 4 times, ever.
Okay.
But the neighbor next door called the police talking about I'm over here making music, and half of the time they ain't hear no music. Every now and then they hear, but that usually. They hear they come by 4 or 5. What the hell is what?
Well, we had a call.
I'm sure you did. When I had somebody call y'all for a legit reason from my house, you never showed up. Now what do you want?
And I would. I hope y'all reported that and had that address as a proper.
I didn't know who to call to report the sheriffs. They're sheriffs. They're different than on the South End. Their sheriffs be up here. And then regular
I got you.
Yeah.
Well, I got you. My point is that there is a way to address that. But in general, it's what we're talking about. When we talk about the situation that causes young people to feel like I got to be on edge to be ready to defend myself or even run and fight, you know, take flight. If more was done to educate and to encourage African Americans, I'm going to put it all with us weakness now, African Americans, black folks, to police themselves first.
Yeah.
You can be just like those neighborhoods that don't have a heavy police presence because they won't need to be there.
I didn't understand, sir. I'm sorry. To do what?
I said if more black folks will police one another themselves in their neighborhood, you can reduce the amount of police presence, heavy police presence,
in those black neighborhoods
because they won't need to be there.
Okay, I see.
See, the truth of the matter is black-on-black crime is a major issue that a lot of these so-called do-gooder preachers you were talking about, Outcast, don't want to talk about. Don't want to have that come
No,
out.
They don't talk about that. No.
They'll
tell you to go down there on Broadway and check the prostitutes out. See, this is what they'll say. they'll always try to figure out a way to get around something instead of addressing the issue, you know.
Exactly.
At the end of the day, what's going on is what's going on, and it will continue, until, as you stated, Reverend Dockery, you get with the youth and start training them, you know, give them a different outlook, on life.
That's it.
And what it looks. Now, I'm going to go to North Carolina for a minute. You know, you and I, we've talked about this a lot of times concerning how people can take people and brainwash them, get them over to these little groups and things of that nature, whether it be the white supremacists and things of that nature. You got a leader. He stand up and spew that garbage. He brainwash you. You go out. You take a car. You ram people. Now you got a life sentence. Plus looking at 419 years in prison. We talk about this all the time. You know, even children are brainwashed in the environment they're in. You know, you got to grow. And I'm going to use your word now. You got grown, musty, and I'm talking about musty men standing up, spewing garbage in these children's ears. Hate
that
the white
so
man.
True, man.
You know what I'm saying?
So
you know,
yeah,
spreading
yeah,
all that hatred and then talking about slavery. It's a way to teach. You know, I mean, it's a way to teach. It's a way to teach and do anything. And see, this is one of the major problems, and this is what you're touching on now. Getting these children, you know, and some of these musty men too, and give them a totally different outlook on life. And I'm a whole.
Right.
I'm getting started
right
now.
But if you don't know yourself, Outkast, how you going to tell them? That's what I keep telling people. Some of these folks running up, standing up, talking about something, I'm a leader, and I'm this, I'm that. Man, you just in the way. That's all, brother. And sister.
Yeah.
And what you need to do is to bow down and get out of the way so we can take care of business.
Exactly.
You know, you're right.
Exactly.
That little white fella, Dylan fella in what was it, North Carolina, South Carolina?
Yeah, North Carolina. And they got this other one that mowed that woman down with that vehicle
and
hurt other people. Now, where is the leader? The leader is free. He's in prison. Oh, now you waking up in that 6x6 cell saying it's a dream. No, it's not a dream. It's reality.
It's
real.
It's too late then, ain't it, though? It's too late then, ain't it? And my point is, whether you're black or white, you cannot afford to let people pump your head with a bunch of loose rhetoric and foolishness, man. And that's what's happening to a lot of these little guys out here. You know, they're always on the edge thinking, I got to fight somebody. You know what? You're not showing yourself as a man to demonstrate your ability to be a brute and a gladiator fighter. What about the man?
I wish they would fight and put the guns down like y'all used to do. I wish they would fight instead of killing each other. Like old boy said, you get to live to see another day.
I agree.
Yeah.
With that.
That's it. That's it. I mean, but let's add that to what Outkast is saying. You got somebody putting foolishness in your head, and you're scared. You're a little chump. You're scared you're going to get mopped out down the street. Because you know how it was, Outkast, back in the day. You go toe-to-toe with a cat, man. The next day, y'all be slapping, giving one another death, man.
Right. But see,
they don't respect each other anymore.
Yeah, but
it goes
back to what you've been saying, though, Reverend Dockery. Look, these kids and so many grown, musty men need to be around people that have knowledge. You know, instead of the foolishness. This is one of the major problems. And you've repeated it over and over and over, just as well as Reverend Waller, just as well as Mama D. You know, we talk about the same thing, and we know that this is happening. We know that this is going around. These people need to be around more knowledgeable people, you know, more knowledgeable. You know, it goes back to, I'm going to bring Socrates back in, the poisoning of the mind. You know, Socrates was doing, but Socrates was teaching them how to think in a positive manner, you know, just as well as yourself.
Right.
This is what all this comes back to. Even Mama D, she's saying the same thing. Everybody's saying the same thing. We see what's going on. We know what's going on. These musty men around these children fitting their head with that crap. Instead of telling that young man to go to study. He don't have to go to college. Go to a trade school. Try to teach yourself a few. They're not doing that. Instead, it's about the dope. It's about the pimping. It's about the hatred. You know what I'm saying? You know,
what about the nutty women that have to give the love to their children? If they knew. They're so involved in what, whether it be drinking drugs or whatnot, it doesn't matter because I drink. But I used to teach my kids a different way because my mama told us the way, and she didn't drink that I saw. She'd do it around me if she did. My point is,
let me tell y'all something.
It's not just the musty men. They out there with them boys. A lot of them is. I, I, I,
seen it myself. However, they still, some of them, they look for love in all the wrong places. And these folks showing these broke kids some money, and they trying to convince them this is the way to go, and we love you, and this and that. And they'll let them take the rest the whole way go.
Wow.
Where you going after that. Then white folk going to take you. They going to lock you up. And I didn't leave you. You left me, so I'm not coming to see you.
And you got a good point.
All right. Let me do this. We got Don is joining us from Selma. And let me invite you. This is that we're at the top of the hour here. 657-383-0944. We're just doing reflections. This next couple of episodes, we're going to be doing reflections from 2018. One particular thing, we're talking about that six room that too many young people find themselves in, afraid, angry, and ready to fight. And we're trying to explain how we can fix that. Because come 19, I'm going to share something with y'all. Come 19, the question is, what is it that you're going to do to change what happened in the past? If you ain't willing to do that, you might as well go lay down somewhere. But let me, Don, how you doing, brother? Welcome to the conversation.
Hello.
I'm doing fine, Mr. Dockery. I caught my brother today in Queenie. I went on the Facebook, and I seen who put the plaque up. And guess what, Mr. Dockery? When you're young and you don't listen and you break spiritual protocol, you get what you get out here. And what I saw on that Facebook today, Mr. Dockery, and can I tell you something, Mr. Dockery? I want you to listen to me very well. Go on your Facebook, look up Chris Anderson Eel, and then go on Facebook and look up Matthew Hamilton Eel. One's in Birmingham, which is Matthew Hamilton Eel. And Chris Anderson Eel is in Huntsville. And just read the page. Just keep reading the page. As you keep reading the page, your glass is going to come on and you're going to see. And Mr. Dockery, we got a lot of young guys out here that's misdirecting these young folk out here. And one of them is my brother. Ooh. He's trying to come in. Look, he's trying to come in and break protocol. And guess what, Mr. Dockery? When my dad was living, if you sat down and kept your mouth shut, you might have been further up the road.
Okay. And so, Don, I hope you follow what we're saying in that conversation.
Yes, sir. I hear you. I hear you very well. And what y'all saying is correct. Thanksgiving weekend, we lost about 13 young men right here in Selma. Ooh, and can I tell you something, Mr. Dockery? I'm going to be very honest with you. I talked to the police chief here today, and he said he wished somebody would come in and teach these young. They just shooting it. What you shooting about, Mr. Dockery? You know I was raised right up there in Middle Tennessee. Now I'm finna say something across there. I wasn't raised there with a bunch of African American sisters like down here in the Black Belt. They got the beautifulest women in the world, and you just killing each other. You know the Klan laughing.
Seeing all the time.
Wow. Well, so I'll share this with you guys. After this last election, I made some phone calls to people that are already in office and some that are recently come in. And I asked them, what can we expect you to do relative to the things that we're, some of the things we're talking about? Because that's the nature of the problem. Now, you got these young guys that are 16 and 21 years old, right? And they represent the highest, they're black, represent the highest unemployment rate in the nation. And you're not willing to use federal, state, and local dollars to provide them, as Alcat has said, vocational skill training. What's wrong with that picture?
A lot.
I mean, you know where they're going to be. They're going to be out on the block. Trying to what? Get in where they fit in. If you know that, then, I mean, what are we doing? What's going on?
Wasting time.
Mr. Dockery.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I went through the JPT program up on the Senator block from Tennessee when President Reagan was in office. I drove trucks for 13 years. So you're scientifically correct.
Wow. I mean, there are things that can be done to preoccupy these guys' time. Then the other thing is, let's go and talk straight tonight. Stop making these babies if you ain't ready to take care of them to raise them. Help me, Holy Ghost. I mean,
yeah, Yep, I agree.
Put that thing up. Put that thing
yes,
up.
Sir.
Mr. Dockery.
I mean, yeah.
You sound too
yes,
correct.
Sir.
I've been talking to Kayla's mama. We've been talking, and guess what? We've been talking about Kayla and what's going on with her and her husband, and you're scientifically correct.
Well, here's the thing, Donna. There are good people that make mistakes, and if you got a child that grows up without guidance and instruction, they're prone to make more mistakes than they have to. That's all I'm saying. And these grown, musty rascals around here who want the credit and who want to always be in the spotlight, you got to ask yourself, man, what – I mean, these cats around here chasing these little young girls like it's going out of style.
All right.
Yeah. Anyway, let me bring it back on.
Mr. Dockery, you're scientifically correct.
You hit the nail on the
head.
I say you hit the nail on the head for one thing. Instead of saying, girl, here, go buy yourself something to eat. Go home.
Right.
So you can get up and go to school in the morning. They looking
watch
at their
now.
Little figures, their figures, their little shapes, and they're not thinking. Well, I got a daughter. If she ain't her age, she's close to her age. How would I
That's
be?
Right.
Right.
How would I feel if an old-ass man approach her like that? Your child ain't don't no more to you. And
she correct.
I mean, supposed to than the next child out there, because that's how we say get them all together.
Wow.
Instead of
wow.
chasing them, then you chase their butt home.
Yeah.
She correct.
Yeah.
And that's what's going
okay.
on out here. Y'all on it. Y'all on it tonight. Y'all on the wall.
You on the money. Pastor Wallace was going to say something. Pastor, what were you going
to
say?
Yeah, I'm just thinking about the point that 8112 made earlier. I mean, she's right on target with it. You know, if a person is not young as the people are now, you know, you've been young before, so you understand that. But today, and the fast and the speed of the game today, is more prevalent for the people to get captured quick. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because of what's going
yeah.
on out there. And I go back to the original state of what the church is supposed to be about. You're supposed to be able to go to church. The people that are going, I'm not talking about those who don't go. I'm talking about for those who go to church. You're supposed to be going in to get filled with the knowledge. That's what I was told. And if a person is doing that, and then they'll bring knowledge out, then they can't keep it to themselves if they got it. But if they don't have it, they cannot teach people anything out there. And, you know, what's the use of having a Bible that has so much information in it, you know, and then you don't know what to do with it? I mean, what how does that really fit a person who say that they self? I love God, and I'm going to church because I want to do God's will. And it don't have to do with being no preaching. It don't have to do with that. It has to do with knowing that you have the knowledge and you know that these kids are hurting outside. What's wrong with taking it to the streets? I don't get it.
And I could be wrong.
And if I'm wrong, somebody can tell me that I'm wrong. But if the word of God, if the word of God's here,
I don't think you're wrong, because one thing I do like about Jehovah's Witnesses, regardless of whether people slam the door in their face or not, they still get out there. And they have a whole lot of valuable points. I don't agree with all their ways, but who am I? I ain't supposed to. They believe in Jehovah, which is God to them. Jesus Christ is God to me, but they said, if you believe within yourself, get out there and witness and worship, and that's what they do. Now, as far as me, some people, as myself, have had personal experience, and I'm a God-fearing person, honestly.
Okay.
And I went to church. I was raised in church. And as a young woman, I went to church, and they like, I heard somebody making comments they shouldn't have made in the house of God. I don't care what you got on. If you in there, you're looking for some kind of comfort, because that's where you're supposed to go seek that.
That's true.
Being the sisters, dressing up all pretty for the brothers of the church and the pastor and everybody else, if like that to look at them, then But guess what? You forgot about them people just sitting in the back pews, or maybe even been sitting up in the front pew.
Wait a minute.
Hey, Mr. Dockery. Mr. Dockery.
Yeah.
Oh, what the sister said. I went to Chicago. I was on 75th Street where we used to be with Seed. And as I was over there, I went back up there, and I was checking the scenery out. The same one she just named out was out passing out literature. So I proceeded to tell them about how I was growing up over there on 75th and Phillips. And I was telling them the work my dad was doing while we was on 75th and Phillips. Those people informed me that they seen a certain minister coming out of a hotel room with some little boys.
What?
So, yes, sir. I ain't calling no names, Mr. Dockery, but that's what I was told.
Well, now, so here's my point. I agree with you, but it's also the parishioners have a responsibility to hold, just as voters have responsibility to hold elected officials accountable. Now, I'll give case in point. My congregation, the lady's deceased now, but she was the head of the usher's board. So we were out doing a car wash as a fundraiser, and I wore some old raggedy jeans and a T-shirt. You know, I'm going to work. You know what I mean?
Right.
She pulled me to the side, Mama D. She said, I know you come out here to help, and I appreciate that, but you, my pastor, I don't ever want to see you out here looking like that again. Now, you going around the back so don't nobody see you.
Now, do you think that was right for her to come like that, or do you think it would have
been? Well, here's what I'm trying to get at. And this is what Pastor Waller was speaking to, that if the parishioners, the people that attend the church, are interested and willing to make the change, they will encourage the leadership to do the right thing, too. And that's nothing wrong with that.
There was nothing wrong with you out there in a pair of raggedy jeans. Who's going to put a suit and tie on talking about I'm washing her car, trying to raise money?
Here was her thing. She valued my role more as her pastor and representing that position than she did and I understood where she was coming from. I said, well, I'm going around the back then. I'll wash cars around the back. Yeah, you going around there, so, and we'll take care of this up.
Well, I mean, respect what you're saying, but then again, I don't, because you are a human flesh. You're a man first.
As long as you're
doing the work of God, sister, first, not first aid, because that would be right. But the head sister.
I don't understand that.
And maybe that's just me, and I don't mean to shoot you, but, hey, it is what it is.
You deserve to be out there
working hard, and you can't prepare to work. You didn't need to be out there. You know your title. It's different when you know your title and you're not upholding your title. You was out there to work, and still you can wash it while you're washing a car.
Here's the thing.
Some of them people might have came even closer to you because you was doing it just like that.
That's true. You 8112, you're right. And I just like for you to consider that there's a flip side to that. I fully understand where she was coming from, and I think she was correct. What she was trying to say is there are certain things we expect you to be doing. This is not one of them. We got this. You don't have to do that. I got that. I just wanted to help because I'm a worker. You know what I mean? And I respect what she was saying.
She was looking out for her pastor. That happened to a lot of women a lot of times. They love their pastor so much, they praise him almost as high as God. Some of them is as God. And some of them behind the pastor. I ain't going to lie now. Hold on, wait a minute. But.
8112, you're too much to do, okay?
I ain't gonna tell nobody.
I'm gonna have to let Don handle you, 8112.
Mr. Dockery, Lord, Lord, but he who does the will of the Father.
Watch it now.
She on the wall tonight, Doc.
and what it does though, 8112, is it keeps people in leadership from being out of order too, because you should be accountable to parishioners, and parishioners should be accountable to you, because both of you are accountable to the Word of God. That's what Pastor Wallace is saying. And proactive
and
Pastor
Wallace says so many good things as well as you do too as a pastor. But understand where I'm coming from. I'm not just out at God within me. My point is this. I hope I make myself thoroughly understood. I didn't discredit her for doing what she's doing, looking out for her pastor. But at the same given time, if a lot of people, them old saints, sinners like me, was standing out there and said, oh, that's Pastor so-and-so, like, rest his soul, Bishop Long, which was my daughter pastor in Georgia.
Okay.
You probably wouldn't have caught that man out there for nothing in no raggedy jeans. They'll look at you and say, now that pastor, I like him. He don't figure he too good.
Mr. Docker,
get a little dirty.
Hold on one second.
Mr. Docker.
Hold on, Don.
Pastor Docker. Pastor Docker.
Go ahead, Don.
She might know what she's talking about. You know, my father had a relationship with Eddie Long and Bernice, so she might know what she's talking about.
I'm not suggesting that what she's saying has no merit. However, Don, is that your noise in the background? Okay. However, I do understand that as a pastor, there is a need for you to be able to be versatile. But more importantly, it's important that we hold one another accountable. That's all I'm saying.
I agree.
And that is that because we're working together, and she has a good point, but there's another side to it. But bringing it back together to the general conversation in terms of this 6x6 room that too many people find themselves in, let's look at it like this. The light will come on when the truth, and this is Pastor Wallace saying, when the truth is brought in, the light will come on. And guess what? You don't have to be afraid of the room anymore. Is that a good way of saying that, Pastor Wallace?
Okay, so run that to me again, Pastor. You say, is it what?
I was making mention of something you say all the time, and that's the truth.
It'll make you free. Yeah,
and
make you
in relationship.
Time,
yeah, hold on one second. Let me finish this up. Yeah. In relationship to the 6x6 room and the darkness that's there, the fear, the anxiety, the violence that could come from it, when you bring the truth into the room, it brings light. It illuminates the place. There's no need to be afraid because you can see your way there.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That was the point.
But the darkness, they travel. But you know, the word say the darkness comprehended, you know, not the light sometimes. So you, so sometimes they'd be afraid of it, you know, even when they shouldn't be. And that made a lot of sense. You know, that made a lot of sense. They shouldn't be afraid of it. But in some kind of way, truth hurts, and the truth free people up. And misery sometimes love the company that it keep. And that's happening. That's happening a lot. It's going on a lot, man. It's a great company keeper. You know, misery loves that company, and it just has a tendency to know how to draw other people into it.
Sure.
Sad to say.
Yeah. Well, now let's think about this. We got about 10 minutes before the night is over with. In 19, give me a suggestion based on what we've been talking about all year long and the conversation you presented in 8112. Can you have a suggestion of something that you think might be useful moving forward?
I'm trying to think within myself and my soul and search, do some soul searching myself, but I think the suggestion that I would say would be for you guys, even though it's a struggle, keep doing what you're doing. They listen to mm-hmm. me on this end, but they listen to mm-hmm. you all over.
I see.
So
I, see. Okay.
I feel like what you guys yeah. doing is greatness, and it's going to take a whole lot of work. And it's going to take a
and
whole lot of people to help you guys. But I do believe in my soul that when you done all you can do no more. You got to just give it to God.
Well, that's true. That is so
keep
true.
Doing
okay.
his work,
okay.
what you guys are doing is what I think.
Right, right. What about it, Don? You said you like
She's correct. Yeah. She's correct. Mr. Doctor, I experienced some things last week, and I didn't quite understand where it come from. And to the day, like I said, I hit that Facebook, and I understand, like she said, when people have jealous, envy, and hate of you, sometimes you just do got to turn it over to God. And that's what I did. I just came home, started laying back, and give it to God. You know what I'm saying? You some things you can't fight. You just got to give it to the Lord and let the Lord fight the battle.
Right. Okay. 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 Well, Pastor Wallace.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Is there any way we can persuade you to do something different than what you've been doing?
Persuade me to do something different than what I've been doing today or back then?
Or for the last few years?
No one needs to do anything different. You know, like to step away from reaching out. I mean, temptation has a trouble. You know, but I don't see nobody being able to do that. Not to say they wouldn't try. Some people may say, I need to find something else to do. They may say that.
What?
They may say, well, thank
you. You know,
I've had to
tell me that.
Yeah, okay.
No,
yeah.
Man, I didn't tell me that. You ain't got to do all that. Ain't nobody
yeah,
else doing it.
Yeah, they may say you're wasting your time and, you know, it's nothing happened and all that. They can say all those things. But see, one thing I do know is that he may not come when you want him to, but he's always on time. So I know that he's a time God. So that means I look at my life when people thought my life wasn't going to change. I kept showing up, and eventually my life changed. So I know that there's hope. So I can't
look
go for what nobody would say if they said something like that to me. You know what I mean? I don't try to convince them or anything, but I do know that sometimes the enemy will come and
mm-hmm.
use people and persuade people to do something different because they say, well, you're right, man. Nothing is changing and things like that. So it's not easy, though, man, because it's tempting. I can believe that. I know my sometimes being without, you know, caused me to have the thought to come, but I use the word of God to pull it down, you know, because he says, you know, pull every thought that's against the knowledge of God, you know, to pull it down. So, you know, it's not like the tempter don't come, and he's supposed to.
Okay.
Yeah, but he hadn't been able to persuade me thus far, so I just keep on doing it, even trying to do it by myself.
All right, Pastor.
Well,
yeah.
So in 19...
8-1-12, that's my
19,
girl, man. Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
You go out there.
What would I do without you?
Hey, Pastor.
37-2, what would I do without you?
Hold up.
Yeah. Huh? What would I do without you two ladies, man? Yeah, that's right. Go ahead.
You guys inspire me. That's what y'all do for me. Y'all inspire me.
Right.
You give me courage, hope. Sometimes you feel like the work you're doing is in vain. But I always say, God, stop before I give up.
You know what I come to realize, 8112?
What's that?
That there will be folks that are closest to you that are so afraid that they'll be the ones that get in the way. They say Harriet Tubman could have freed more slaves if it wasn't for the Negroes that were afraid to get caught. If it wasn't for those folks, she could have freed a whole lot more slaves.
I could have too, but I had something cross my path too, ain't I?
But we're gonna press toward tomorrow.
That's right.
With vocation, which we call. Is that right?
Is that
yes,
right?
Sir.
All right, all right. Listen, man, look at the time. My goodness. I just got started with y'all. And it's
we're
going
to get you to get a longer radio station because you're getting big and powerful, sir.
Well, I mean, we'll certainly have to look at that.
Yes, please.
Don?
Huh?
Don, you there? We get
yes, sir.
Here, man. In 19, what do you recommend in 19, Don?
Just keep educating, keep loving, and that's the only thing you can do, Mr. Dockery. Keep educating and keep loving.
Okay, okay. We had a show with Dr. King on there where it was saying, it was asking a question why we can't wait in 2018. I intend to follow up on that one on this coming Thursday. You know, he wrote a book about why we can't wait. Now, that was 60 years ago, but in 18, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
You talking about his son?
No, I'm talking about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., the late Dr.
Really?
Martin Luther King Jr. He wrote
why
a book
he said
entitled
we can't wait
Why We Can't
Huh? I remember when I was in school and he passed. I'm just asking the question real fast because I understand totally. He wrote a book, said, Why We Can't Wait Till 2018?
Oh, no.
Oh,
no,
okay,
no.
Okay.
In 1963, I believe it was, he authored a book, Why We Can't Wait.
Okay.
And it was inspired by some of the things going on with the Civil Rights Movement. I was applying
yes,
that to 2018. The show we did in this year was entitled Why We Can't Wait, and it was placating off of Dr. King. And I was just making the point that some years later, we can't afford to be sitting around waiting. We've got too much to get done. So,
thank you for explaining to me.
Oh, no problem. We're going to talk about that Thursday. We're going to talk about that Thursday night. So, listen, Pastor, I'm going to turn the floor over to you, my brother. Take us home. He left already.
Okay.
He left already. www.bfcinstitute.com. We can use your financial support. Go there, learn about us, and make a contribution on our secure website there with PayPal. All right, Pastor Wallace?
Wait a minute, excuse me. Will you please call me Pastor Zachary after the show for a brief moment?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Sorry, Pastor Wallace.
Okay, say that again. What'd you say now?
I said, I'm sorry, Pastor Waters, for interrupting Pastor Dockery while he was asking
you. You're all right, baby. You know you can have it any time.
We've got about
that.
A minute and a half, Pastor.
Okay. Well, I want to just encourage everybody to know one thing. You know, when we do the very thing that I'm about to share, it works out a lot to our good. The Word of God says in Matthew chapter number 33, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto us. So we just need some added things to our life, but we got to seek his will first. So we learn more how to trust him and watch everything work itself out. That's my prayer for everybody.
All right. We'll see you 7 o'clock Thursday night. God will. Thank you.